Women Made New. I'm your host, Priscilina Everett. Thank you for joining me today. We have Jesse Romero here at Women Made New. And before we get into it with Jesse, we are going to hear from Doug Barry on how you can be battle ready within your own home. So stay tuned.
Hi, everyone. This is Doug Barry from Battle Ready. You and I are seeing real time the signs of the times unfold all around us. We're seeing the chaos, the confusion. We're seeing the corruption in government, secular media, in the church, many other areas we could point to that make clear we're living in some very tumultuous times. What's our response? Because for many, they still live in a normalcy bias mindset. Oh, that's not going to come to me. That problem's not going to come to my doorstep. I'm not going to have to deal with that. That's somewhere else. That simply is not true. We're all affected by these things, all of us. But what is our attitude about it? That is the first thing we need to be thinking about when it comes to whether or not we're going to do anything naturally or spiritually to be better prepared for these signs of the times that we see unfolding all around us. Attitude adjustment is number one. If our attitude is, oh, I'm just going to pick up my phone and call 911, someone's going to come and save me, then we're going to find ourselves in a real big world of hurt when something strikes or hits in a way that no one can come and help. The phones might be down, power might be cut, you name it. What's the attitude going to be then? For some, they're going to break down and panic. If we don't want to end up in that kind of a situation where we just curl up in the fetal position on the floor in fear and panic when things get too hard, either spiritually or naturally, then we need to change our attitude today and start taking the steps today that are necessary to be better prepared, body, mind, and soul. But again, it starts with attitude adjustment. Adjusting that attitude to realize through prayer, through the reading of scripture, and through looking at what is naturally unfolding around us, realizing I have free will and I need to do something with it. Many people wait for what I refer to as the angelic injection. They're waiting for God to send angels from heaven to inject something in us that'll just give us that drive, that energy, that something that says, I'm just going to do it now. I'm going to exercise because something has been injected into me that makes me want to exercise. I'm going to sit down and make a plan for food and water and protection and defense and shelter because something has made me want to do it. I'm just going to start praying the rosary every day now and get into confession consistently because something has made me want to do it. That's something that you're waiting for, if that's you, is your own free will. It's an act of the free will to say, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to start looking at the things that I need to do to be better prepared. I'm going to start looking at what I need to do spiritually. I need to get to confession more frequently. I need to get that rosary prayed every day. I need to make sure that I'm fasting, reading scripture. I need to make sure that I'm looking at food and water and other supplies and medical and things that I know care for myself and those that God has entrusted to me. But again, all of this begins with attitude. That attitude needs to sometimes be tweaked a little bit to be put in a better place so we will then respond and take those steps that are good, that are holy, and that we can do of our own free will. God bless and strengthen you in this fight. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Women Made New. I'm your host, Priscilina Everett. Thank you for joining me. And we have the privilege of having on again Jesse Romero. And I really wanted to have a follow-up show to see what happened over the weekend at the convention that was here in Scottsdale. But before we get into that with Jesse, he is going to lead us in prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear us and answer us. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us. Our Lady of Sorrows, pray for us. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you, save souls. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for being here again, Jesse. I am excited to know what happened last weekend.
You should be excited because it's your city.
I know.
So you have, as they say, you have, as they say, skin in the game.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes, we do.
So let me tell you what happened over the weekend. About 300 Catholics met on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's February 11th, 12th, and 13th. It's over the weekend in front of the Saguaro Hotel in Scottsdale, Arizona. It was very peaceful. It was very orderly. And it kind of reminds me of the 300 men from the book of Judges, chapter 7, verse 5, where it talks about that 300 men defeated 15,000 Midianites, 300 Israelite men. And so the fact that we were about 300 Catholics on all 3 days, I don't think it was a coincidence. I think it was a God incidence. Wow. So there were two Catholic priests that joined us. They will remain anonymous. They joined us, lay Catholics, in praying supplication and prayers of petition. We prayed from 12 noon to 3 p.m. We prayed all four mysteries of the Holy Rosary. On the fifth mystery of every rosary, all the men knelt down on the cement on the sidewalk. We did what's called a penitential rosary with our arms extended like a cross. And you could just see the people just driving by in front of us. Their jaws were just open. Their mouths were open. Just see, like, wow, look at this organized prayer rally that these Catholics are involved in. We prayed the chaplet of the St. Michael the Archangel, the chaplet of the Holy Face of Jesus, the chaplet of the Divine Mercy. We sang litanies to Our Lady in between, litanies to St. Joseph, the litanies of the blood of Jesus, the litanies of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We sang Latin songs in between. I could tell you what we did is we saturated that atmosphere with what St. Paul calls a sweet aroma of Christ for 3 days straight. And all the Catholics that were there, we intentionally united our prayers from 12 noon to 3 p.m., which is the hours that our Lord Jesus Christ was redeeming the world on Calvary about 2,000 years ago. We purposely chose those times and intentionally united our prayers with our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we heard reports of some sizable groups of non-Catholics that showed up after us. When we left at about 3 o'clock, apparently some a Protestant Christian brothers, they came at about 4 o'clock, and they continued to pray. I heard about 75 to 100 of them. They were praying and evangelizing. So what can I tell you when I got there? We parked across the street at the Scottsdale Civic Center, so you know where that's at. Mm-hmm. There were hundreds of people at the Satanic Convention, including obviously Satanists, witches, atheists, secular humanists. They were in the hotel. But outside of the hotel, there were Protestants of goodwill, some anti-Catholic Protestants, but the majority were very supportive because they were also here to resist the evil that was occurring in the convention. When I got off my car and we were assembling as Catholics across the street and we're ready to process to the other side, I kind of felt like St. Paul walking into Ephesus back in the book of Acts 19:29. He says when he walked into the city of Ephesus, he says, quote, "The city was filled with much confusion."
Wow.
Yeah, and I could also identify with St. Paul in Acts chapter 17, verse 16. When he walked into Athens, Greece, St. Paul said this. He says, "My spirit was provoked within me as he saw that the city was full of idols." In other words, I grieved in my heart. Mm. I grieved for our Lord Jesus Christ and Our Lady just to see. Because what I saw in Scottsdale is a microcosm of America. Mm-hmm, such confusion. Right. It's the Tower of Babel. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. But so what were the goals of the 300 Catholics that were there? Well, number one, we wanted to be faithful. Offer God prayers of reparation because of the evil lectures and the evil actions of the Satanists inside the ballroom. By the way, something kind of interesting for you, because you and your husband Jason are bold defenders of pure love and of following the church's precepts on chastity and purity and continence. They had on Saturday night, check this out, Christina, on Friday night at 7 p.m. after the lectures, from 7 p.m. until probably the next day, who knows, they had what's called an impurity ball.
Oh my gosh.
An impurity ball. And on their conference schedule, it says that was offsite entertainment. So they probably held it somewhere else. Again, this is just, it's the exact opposite of a Catholic purity ball where Catholics, you know, gather together, they celebrate teen chastity and purity. They had the exact opposite on Friday night. I thought you've got to be kind of interested in that tidbit of information.
I did see some of their schedule and some of the things that were happening, and
it was
just
wicked.
Jaw-dropping, yeah. Shocking.
Yes.
And sad. It's so sad. But it just shows that the devil is not hiding anymore, and
nope.
They are, to a certain extent, proud of this, and they want to normalize Satanism, and it's not going to it's not happening, and people are rejecting it, and it obviously is something that people in Arizona and Scottsdale are not making the norm and are rejecting it, and I'm just so happy, and God bless all of those 300 warrior men. You know, that went out there to defend us and the faith and Jesus. And that is very commendable, Jesse. So thank you for doing that.
By the way, the Satanic Conference, they're also part of the woke culture. I'll
yes.
tell you why. Because to get inside to the Satanic Conference, the Satanists and the witches, they had to have, it says here, surgical N95 masks are required at all times. And also, the second requirement to go into the conference, proof of vaccination will be required to enter both the conference and the Satanic Marketplace. So they've bought into the whole, you know, woke culture. The conference was sold out in 3 days, and they had tables outside in Old Town Scottsdale in the marketplace where shoppers were buying. They were selling, you know, Ouija boards and, you know, Book of Curses and Hexes, and shoppers were there, you know, just looky-loos were looking around and seeing what they could buy. But going back to, again, the second reason that we were there is to offer God prayers for the Satanists to receive the grace of conversion and salvation, because God also sent his son to die for their sins. And the last reason that we were there was to offer God prayers of protection for the entire city of Scottsdale and for us as well.
Yes.
Because there's a biblical mandate in Matthew 5:44. The Bible says, love your enemies and pray for those who curse you. That's exactly what they are doing. They're projecting curses, and they're enemies of the cross, but we're called to love them. But what is love, according to St. Thomas Aquinas? To love is to will the good of another. So what is it that I and the 299 other Catholics, what is it that we will for the Satanists? We will nothing less than the salvation of their souls, which, by the way, is the supreme law of the Catholic Church, according to Canon 1752. I was reminding the Catholics that were coming, because, you know, some of them were apprehensive, you know, coming and praying in front of a Satanic conference. I mean, this doesn't happen like, you know, every weekend. This is the first time they've ever done this in the country. So people were obviously, you know, reticent, and some people chose to pray at home. Some chose to pray inside the churches, which is fine. That's, as long as people were praying, that's all we wanted. But the people that were showing up, I was reminding them, this is not political. This is not a protest. This is not, you know, some type of, you know, patriot rally. We are Catholic Christians. And I told them, for the next 3 days, you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, keep your eyes on Jesus. We're here for one reason, to pray for the salvation of the Satanists and witches' souls, and also to make our church shine by conducting ourselves as faithful sons and daughters of the church as we step into the breach as Catholics in the public square. You know, and I believe, Kristalina, that we accomplished our goals through this peaceful prayer rally. We were commended by the police. We were commended by Protestants. We were commended by people walking by. All the attendees publicly demonstrated the virtues of faith, hope, and charity for 3 hours, nine hours, 3 hours every single day. And one of the verses that brought me great consolation is in Acts chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. The book of Acts says, it says, do not be afraid, speak out, and refuse to be silenced. I am with thee, and none shall come to do thee harm. I have a great following in this city. So I was just thinking, yep, Lord, you have a great following of key people in the city of Scottsdale, and you're here with us. So I felt at peace, because I just knew that, again, there were so many people praying from all over the country, all 50 states. So many people that were texting us, cloistered Carmelites, priest religious orders, entire prayer groups. There was so much prayer power. All the Catholics, they told me, Jess, I feel safe here. I feel like we're being showered. I said, you are. You literally are.
People don't understand the power of prayer. And when there is a problem or something going on, it is very wise to kind of engage in that spiritual combat of asking for prayers. Call the people you know. Get masses said. Go to adorations. Get cloistered nuns or different convents to pray for that reason and purpose. And there's power in that. And people don't realize, especially now with everything coming against us and being bombarded in so many ways, especially spiritually, there is something to be said about that. Now, I want to ask you, Jesse, and I'm sure I covered it last show, but I'm going to ask you again, what made you kind of lead the charge of all of this? It's not normal. Like you hear, okay, there's a Saint Con going on. And then here comes Jesse Romero say, oh yeah, Saint Con's going on. What am I going to do about it? Like, where did that come from or stem from? Or why did you become a part of this?
Again, I think first of all, just natural law. And what I mean by that is just my human nature. If you hear, I mean, I was a cop for 25 years. When you hear that something evil is going to happen, natural law, just as a man, I think, as even as a woman, you know, if somebody tries to attack your kids, I'm sure the mama bear is going to come out in you and they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
Cause I mean, you're going to fight with every ounce of energy in your body. That's the way I felt this. I felt the same way when I heard that they were coming into one of the cities of the Diocese of Phoenix, kind of that patriarchal chivalry within me said, wait a minute, we've got to stand up in the public square. I mean, we have phenomenal documents that are written on that here in the Diocese of Phoenix. I'm sure your husband Jason's read them. He promotes them. One of them is called Into the Breach, and the other one is called Catholics in the Public Square. Both of them written by His Excellency here in the Diocese of Phoenix. Mm-hmm. When you read those little books, and by the way, they've sold tens of thousands through the Knights of Columbus. So, I mean, they're like in the hands of most Catholics around the country. Most serious Catholics have those two booklets.
They're phenomenal books. They really are.
Well, Crystalina, all I did was follow exactly what those books tell lay Catholic men to do. Nothing more, nothing less. I didn't interject my personality. I just followed literally what those books say. And again, we're called to pray for our enemies, Luke chapter 6, verse 26. And we know that prayers amongst a lot of people, a community of believers, when you're out there praying, they're more effective. That's what our Lord says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. And I also know from, again, having gone to the same college that your husband Jason went to, and they make you read a lot at Steubenville for your master's degree. That's one of the things I thank Steubenville. It made me a reader of the church's documents. The church is very clear, especially in the documents of Vatican II, that we had to read the whole book and write basically lectures, essays on every single book, all the nuances. Vatican II is very clear that Catholics are called to go out into the public square. Catholics are called to sanctify. That means make holy the temporal orders. We're called to take the gospel out into the highways and byways. That's found in the decree on the apostolate to the laity. That's found also in Lumen Gentium. And so as Catholics, I know that these documents, they just burned in my heart as I found out about the Satanic Conference. And I said, I have to go out there. St. Paul says in Ephesians 5:11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. That's what we're called to do. We're called to expose them. And also the spiritual works of mercy in paragraph 2447 tells us that we're called to instruct and advise the ignorant. There are many people out there that are ignorant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I just felt the duty as a Catholic man to go out there and publicly stand for the social kingship of Jesus Christ. Does that answer your question?
That is magnificent. Yes. a protector. That, and I just, again, I commend you for doing that, because a lot of people even hear the word Satanist or Satanism and they run in the opposite direction and it scares them. It's a scary thing. And for somehow we think, and I don't know if it's how Hollywood has depicted it and it's just in the back of our mind, because we grew up seeing all of the Hollywood sensationalized, just how the devil is portrayed, right? And people are scared. But at the same time, we have to realize that God is bigger, God is greater, and that Satan is on a leash that God holds. And he can't do anything without God's permission, and he can't do anything in our lives without our yes and handing our will over to him. And all of the demons in hell can tempt me to do something, but if I don't give my will over, that's it. They cannot cross the line, and that's it. And our will and us holding steadfast is massively powerful that we don't utilize enough, I think.
Yeah, as Catholics, because you've said it, because of the Hollywood movies, they give Satan too much credit.
That's right. That's right, Jesse. And
yeah, he's a finite being. He's a fallen angel. He's not. Angels can't even, you can't even compare an angel to God's his omnipotence, his omnipresence, his omniscience. God knows everything. He's present everywhere. He's all powerful. He has no beginning, no end. Angels and demons are contingent beings. They depend on God for their existence, and they have to ask permission to do what they're going to do, even to tempt us. You see that in the book of Job, chapter 1.
Absolutely.
St. Padre Pio says the same thing. Again, like you said, they're just dogs on a leash. And I think too many Catholics, because of Hollywood movies, they give them too much credit. And
evil one has no rights unless we give him the right in our lives, right?
And the evil one has no rights over us. The way Father Ripperger describes it, he says we give them permission. He has no rights over us. We belong to Christ because of baptism. We belong to the Lord and Our Lady, but we give them permission through mortal sin. And we have given permission to enter into a relationship with them and to move God out of our life. And so as Catholics, we have to keep that in perspective. When I was out there with 300 people and I was reminding them, we are here because Catholic spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered.
Yes.
And this is where, and this is why, I mean, I would never, you know, people ask me, Jess, you know, are you a demonologist? No. I'm a Catholic Christian man who loves the Lord. My life is centered on Christ. I just happen to know a lot in this area because I'm well read in this area, and I studied a lot by some brilliant exorcists in this country. But no, my faith is Christ-centered. I just happen to know I'm acutely aware of the enemy and how he operates. St. Teresa of the Little Flower, St. Teresa of Lisieux, she said that demons are cowards in the face of a soul who's in the state of grace. I'm going to repeat that again. Demons are cowards and fear a soul in a state of grace. Demons can tell, and so can your angel. Your guardian angel can also tell when you're in a state of grace or if you're in a state of mortal sin. And so again, we give them too much credit as we know that they have they actually know, because they know the way the book ends, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10.
That's right.
Yeah, they know that they're going to end up consigned in the lake of fire. Hell will be sealed up by our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be tortured day and night forever and ever, Revelation 20, verse 10. They know how it's going to end for them. So as it says in Revelation 12, I think it's verse 12, it says that they're fighting furiously right now because they know that it's like Custer's last stand. They don't have much time. But as Catholics, we also know that our Lord Jesus Christ has a kingdom. It's in Luke chapter 1, I think verse 33 to 36. Jesus has a kingdom, and the kingdom that he established is called the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. It was started here on earth, but it extends all the way into heaven. And we call the church in heaven the church triumphant. And we know that Jesus's kingdom has no expiration date. Jesus wins at the very end, complete wipeout.
That's right. Absolutely. And a lot of Catholics don't realize how powerful our faith is. And I'm going to tell you a story that while all of this was happening, I went to Mass. And at the end of Mass, Father was telling us how once, when he was in a different diocese, a Satanist called to meet with him and ask if he could meet with him. And Father said, okay, well, yeah, sure. Cause it was well known that this man was a Satanist. And he says, well, yeah, sure, I'll meet with you. And the guy says, well, where shall we meet? And Father says, well, why don't we just meet in my office? That would be appropriate. And he goes, and the guy was hesitant. The Satanist was hesitant to meet with Father. And he says, well, as long as there's not a crucifix, holy water, and you don't touch me, and you promise not to touch me, I'll meet with you. And Father said, my hands are anointed. So he wanted to make sure I didn't put my hands on him at all. He had an aversion. And he said, it is shocking the faith that this Satanist had that most Catholics don't even have.
You're right. You're absolutely right, because a lot of our Catholics are unevangelized. And there's two types of Catholics. Those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I mean know, the Hebrew word for know means experiential knowledge. Just like a man knows his wife and a wife knows her husband experientially. That's what there's Catholics that know God.
Yes.
And there's Catholics that know about God.
Yes.
And so there's a huge difference. I can tell you the 300 Catholics that showed up there, they know God like a husband knows his wife and a wife knows her husband. But that's the goal of the Catholic Church, especially as after Vatican II, you see a lot of declarations talking about the new evangelization. What does that mean? The church recognizes that there's a lot of Catholics that are cafeteria Catholics. They're Catholics for an hour on Sunday. They just go basically to punch the time clock, but they don't really know Jesus. They don't really know their Catholic faith. It's just part of their culture. They say, well, I'm Mexican, I'm Irish, I'm Italian, I'm Polish, so I go to Mass on Sundays. But the rest of the week, they live like pagans. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help the Catholics that are cultural Catholics become Jesus-loving Catholics, married devotee Catholics.
That's right. If someone is listening and they're thinking, oh, wow, I guess they're talking about me, right? What if they're going through that right now, what can they do, Jesse, to kind of to move forward in that relationship with Jesus and get to know him better and get out of the cafeteria and go into kind of more of a commitment relationship with God?
Well, it's like anything, you know, the word relationship, when you, it means that you spend a lot of time with a person and a lot of communication. That's what a relationship means, according to Webster's Dictionary, time and communication. So if you never talk to your spouse, there's not going to be much of a relationship there. If you don't spend a lot of time with your spouse, you're going to find yourself in divorce court. You're going to find yourself in front of a marriage counselor. A relationship means time and communication. So in the Catholic faith, how do we talk to God? St. Clement of Alexandria says we talk to God through prayer. So that means the Catholic is supposed to spend a lot of time in prayer throughout the day. And by the way, you can pray throughout the day without, you know, you're washing the dishes, you're folding clothes, you're riding your treadmill. That doesn't preclude you from praying. That's called, that's what Vatican II calls being a contemplative in the modern world. But again, you should find those fixed times of prayer where you stop and you just, you basically just, stop doing whatever you're doing. And just for a few minutes, just really offer your mind and your heart to God in prayer. And realistically, you should be doing that at least three times a day, according to the Bible, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. It says that Daniel the prophet prayed morning, midday, and evening. So he stopped what he was doing. He recollected himself and he totally gave himself to God, keeping your mind and heart on Jesus Christ throughout the day. A second thing that I would say to have a relationship with Jesus Christ is you have to keep holy the Sabbath. Third commandment, keep holy the Sabbath. For us as Catholic Christians and you, Israel of God, our Sabbath is Sunday. Because that's the day our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, resurrected from the dead. So as a Catholic, a relationship with Jesus Christ is coming into his house and being nourished by the sacrament and by the word of God. That shows that you love him. That shows that you're trying to grow in your faith. And by the way, it's impossible to grow in holiness, and it's impossible to get to heaven without the grace of the Eucharist, without the grace of the seven sacraments. And so that's another way that we show that we have a relationship with Christ. Also, somebody who's in a relationship with Christ is going to want to read his word daily. So what I do every single day, I read the daily Mass readings, either at Mass or at home before I get to Mass. But every single day, and if you can't get to Mass, you should be reading the daily Mass readings. That way you're getting about 5 to 10 minutes of the Word of God every day, and you're asking yourself, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And God is going to teach you something powerful. Like, for example, today's first reading, as it was in the book of James. We're going through the book of James right now in the Novus Ordo Mass. It is beautiful. It is powerful. It is so practical. You can draw so much practical wisdom and instruction just from reading the daily Mass readings, the Psalm of the day, the Gospel of the day. Another thing that you should incorporate into your life to demonstrate that you have a relationship with God is, by the way, God chose a woman named the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is his mother. And so without a mother, there really is no family. And so as a Catholic, every single Catholic should find time to be praying the Holy Rosary every single day. Father Chad Ripperger says, I don't know of one case of possession in the United States of a person who prays the daily Rosary. He says, because meditative prayer is one of the most powerful prayers to keep a person from being diabolically afflicted. So, and what he says, that goes back way deep in Christianity. I'm thinking of St. Isaac of Syria back in 488 AD. St. Isaac of Syria says that meditative prayer drives demons away from you, it torments them, and it causes them much pain.
Wow. The rosary is so powerful, and I had a couple more questions about that, but we're going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back with Jesse Romero. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. We are here with Jesse Romero, and we left before break talking about the rosary, Jesse. And I want to tell you, well, I was praying the rosary, and I have a statue of Our Lady there, right? And then I just recently bought this massive Saint Michael statue. It's huge. And I wanted my boys to grow up remembering this statue. I mean, it's half my size. It's huge.
Good job. Good job.
But it's a big deal because it's got the chain on it. My boys were shocked. Their mouths were open as I was opening this box, you know, and I had Father bless it, but I want them to grow up seeing just that holy strength and that God is bigger than the evil one and the evil one getting conquered. And it's just beautiful. And I have such a devotion to the angels and Saint Michael. But while I was sitting there praying and just looking at both of those statues, I realized that the Blessed Mother is standing there crushing the head of Satan. And Saint Michael is there standing on the head of Satan. And those are the only two depictions that I know of in the church, is Saint Michael and the Blessed Mother, where they're crushing the head of Satan. There's no one else that we see or know of. And it was beautiful. And there's my warrior mama, you know, crushing the head of Satan, the Blessed Mother. Then you have Saint Michael there, but she's Our Lady Queen of Angels. And there's something to be said about that, and the power and the beauty and the power of the rosary is something I don't think people realize the graces that come from that, but it comes from graces that come from this warrior spirit in heaven that she wants us to fight and engage in the battle. And prayer is one of those things.
Yeah. And I'll tell you why the prayer is so powerful, because prayers are taken from the Word of God. All Catholic prayers are taken from the Word of God. How does Jesus drive out demons? Every single time Jesus drives out demons in the four Gospels, he does it by proclaiming the Word of God. Why? Because demons are bound by spiritual laws. Just like you and I, we're bound by physical and spiritual laws. For example, you and me walk on the floor because we follow the physical law of gravity. Our body weight weighs us down, and so, you know, we don't float, we don't levitate, we don't fly. We're bound by physical laws. We're also bound by spiritual laws. Demons are just bound by spiritual laws, not physical laws. And what the spiritual laws that they're bound by is what God has spoken, not through the Constitution, not through the Declaration of Independence, not through politics, through the Word of God. And so in the Word of God, you have two characters that have been given power and authority over the devil, the Blessed Virgin Mary in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and St. Michael the Archangel in Revelation chapter 12. And so the devil and demons are lawyers from hell. They have to follow legally and precisely what God has written, because they are bound by God's spiritual laws. And that's why when you and I as Catholics, when we pray these prayers, all of them are based on the Word of God. It injures demons. Prayers injure demons. It causes them pain. It tortures them. It's like when you pray, it's like you take the high ground and you make a demon a prisoner of war. Because again, the prayer that you're projecting is taken from sacred scripture, which they're bound by. And especially the Hail Mary is particularly harmful to demons. During an exorcism, a demon was forced to tell Father Gabriel Amorth, rest in peace. He was the Rome's exorcist for 29 years. The demon told him, every Hail Mary feels like getting hit, like I'm getting hit in the head with a baseball bat.
Wow.
And so many other saints, they say the same thing. Cardinal Norberto Rivera from Mexico, he's the one that teaches, he's an instructor of exorcism over in Mexico City. He says that Mary brings us to Jesus. She protects us and cares for us in this difficult ministry of exorcism. Mary participates in exorcisms. Cardinal Norberto Rivera says Mary herself is an exorcist and expels the devil through her sanctity. You have many of the saints. They also talk about the power and the efficacy of the Blessed Virgin Mary in relation to the diabolical. You have St. Pius X. He says, the Virgin most powerful, who with her virginal foot did crush the head of the serpent. St. John Bosco, St. Louis de Montfort, they all say the same thing. Even Protestants kind of understand the power of Mary. I'll tell you why. I shared this with a Protestant the other day. As Americans, when we were kids, we were all taught this song. It's called the Battle Hymn of the Republic. You probably, you know, remember the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It was written by a Protestant. She was an Episcopalian. On the second paragraph of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, we sing as Americans. I'm not going to sing because I don't want to scare you. But she says,
No.
In the second paragraph of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, we sing, let the mother of the Savior crush the serpent with her heel, since God is marching on.
Oh.
So even in this national American hymn written by a Protestant, they write in paragraph 2 that Mary crushes the devil's head.
And they recognize it, huh? And they recognize it.
And we sing that, we as all Americans, we sing this in the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Wow.
Everybody.
Wow, that's beautiful. And one thing I want to point out that I don't hear a lot of people talking about, Jesse, is our death, okay? And the hour of our death, we are asking our Blessed Mother within the Hail Mary to pray for us at the hour of our death. Now, for our Lord to have that within the Hail Mary, there's something to be said that there is a battle at the hour of our death that we are interceding. If you're praying the rosary regularly, all of our lives, for that moment and that hour where we're going to be handed over to God. And people have to realize, like, your whole life, honestly, is preparing you in a spiritual way for that moment of what's going to happen to you and where you're going to go. And all of hell's going to be fighting for your soul in that moment.
Yep.
And where are you going to be? What state are you going to be in? How have you prepared? And how are you preparing for that? Because I know people don't like to talk about death. They don't like to think about death. They don't want to deal with death, right? But in a culture where death surrounds us and a lot of our loved ones are dying right now, that there's something to be said about prepare for that. And the rosary helps you to do that, because within those Hail Marys, you are asking to Our Lady be with you and intercede for you in that moment.
Correct. And the church actually teaches that the Council of Trent, I found this in the Catechism of the Council of Trent, that when a person is dying, that's the time when demons are more active. The person literally gets attacked by demons. And this is why all the Hail Marys that we've been praying, Holy Mary, Mother of God, Holy Mary, Mother of God, all those Hail Marys are going to, at that moment, this is when Mary's going to rush at your bedside. She's going to rush with legions of angels, and she's going to drive the demons away. These are promises that Our Lady has made. For example, in the seven promises of Mary, in the seven sorrows, she says in promise number 5, I will defend them in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy, and I will protect them at every instant of their life. Promise number 6, I will help them at the moment of their death, and they will see the face of their mother. So, yeah, this is Catholic teaching. I mean, you have doctors of the church like St. Alphonsus de Liguori. He says in the Council of Trent, when you're dying, demons will rush to your bedside. And if you have, again, in the 15 promises of the Rosary of Our Lady, if you are someone who's been devoted to Our Lady, promise number 13, she says, I have obtained from my divine Son that all the advocates of the Rosary shall have for intercessors the entire celestial court during their life and at the hour of their death. The soul which recommends itself to me by recitation of the Rosary shall not perish in hell. So these are promises of Our Lady. She will rush to your bedside the moment that you're dying. She will rush there with legions of angels. What's one legion? 6,000 soldiers.
Oh my God.
She says legions, plural.
Can you imagine? She will rush
to your side with legions of angels and drive off the demon and make sure that you die in the arms of God.
So we need to remember that when we get tired and we get sleepy and we're praying the Rosary, like, this is business. This is serious business. Yeah. We're praying the Rosary. And it's just a powerful prayer that all of us really, truly should be saying on a daily basis right now, right?
Absolutely. Let me talk a little bit about going back to this weekend in Scottsdale, where we parked and how we organized. Let me just mention this.
Sure.
We as Catholics, the ones that attended, we went to the Scottsdale Civic Center. You know where that's at. We had a statue of Our Lady of Fatima, life-size statue, on a platform, and it was held by 4 to 6 men. So as we were processing across the street and singing hymns, we looked like a modern-day Ark of the Covenant procession, like in the Old Testament. There was also many other Catholics that were processing with images of Our Lady of Guadalupe, large crucifixes. And our prayers of petition and supplication and the songs that we were singing as we're going in front of the hotel, to me, it seemed to have a calming effect with those people that were around us. Again, even the Satanists that were getting off their cars and going into the conference, 99% of the people that passed by in their cars, they gave us the thumbs up sign. They waved at us. They honked their car in approval. The Scottsdale Police Department was very accommodating to us.
Wonderful.
They were very, very protective of us because my wife and myself, we kind of had established a relationship with them for the last 2 months. I was calling them up every week, just let them know how many people were going, where we were going to stand, and just trying to work with them. So they were very appreciative of that. Also, I have to give kudos to a lot of Protestants, well-intentioned Protestants, who even joined us in prayer. They stood with us. And we passed out. We had a 13-page sheet that I put together. It's on the internet. And these are the prayers that we prayed nonstop for 3 hours. Many Protestants, we handed them a sheet of prayers, and they prayed with us. Now, there are other Protestants that elected to pray away from us. They didn't disturb us. They went about 50 yards in both directions in the corner, and they were praying the prayers and preaching the gospel as they understand it. There was 2 Protestant pastors that were with us, and they complimented us Catholics for our organization. They complimented us for our discipline, our physical and spiritual order, our peaceful witness. And they also, these 2 Protestant pastors, they conveyed to me and my wife that they were very sad that the Protestant denominations could not come together in Scottsdale and in their surrounding cities. They couldn't organize them to pray on this critical weekend. a lot of the Catholic faithful that were there, they told me and my wife that it was an incredible spiritual experience, like kind of like a high level intensive retreat. I spent even two separate occasions talking and, you know, one-on-one with Satanists asking questions. They were curious about what is the Catholic gospel? What do you believe? Again, I was able to share my faith with these two ecumenically minded Protestant pastors who were asking me questions about the Catholic faith. I was able to talk to atheists. There was, you know, atheists that were there. They were saying, both of you guys are wrong. One fairy tale standing up against another fairy tale. So I was able to share my faith with, because atheists were asking, so what is it that you Catholics believe? And we believe in materialism and Darwinian evolution. So I was also able to share my faith with several Scottsdale policemen who were, they're there, you know, protecting everybody.
Yeah.
But they were lukewarm Catholics by their own admission. And I was able to share the gospel with them, share my podcast with them. I got their emails so I could send them some books that I've written. Again, many attendees told us that the prayer rally was totally Catholic. They said that this event made them feel even more proud to be Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that everybody there conducted themselves like followers of Christ. As I was driving home after the last day of the prayer rally, I received a call from a friend of mine, Kyle Clement. He's the case manager and facilitator for Father Chad Ripperger, who's an exorcist. So Kyle Clement, he says, hey, I was with him all weekend. He says, we want to know, how did it go? We both want to know. Give us a blow by blow. And he also told me, he said, oh, by the way, just want to let you know that Father Ripperger offered the holy sacrifice of the Mass all 3 days for all the Catholics in Scottsdale. And he offered the Mass also in reparation for the evil that was occurring at the Satanic Conference. So, and he says he also prayed for your protection, everybody that was there. So I told Kyle, tell Father thank you from the bottom of my heart. That was a great consolation to myself, my wife. But he's not the only one, Crystalina. There were thousands and thousands of lay Catholics around the country. I had entire priest orders texting me that they were praying for us, praying for the conversion of the Satanists. I had 21 orders of Catholic cloistered nuns that contacted me, that told me that they were praying prayers of reparation all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I had prayer groups around the country, apologetics groups around the country, Guadalupe groups around the country, Marian groups, Divine Mercy groups, constantly letting us know that they were praying. You could just feel the weight of the prayer. And I can tell you, many of the people that were there at the prayer rally, they told me and my wife that personally, that this weekend was a life-changing, a moving, powerful experience and a weekend of incredible grace that they're never, ever going to forget. And here's one point that's worth mentioning also is that the Scottsdale Police Department, they told me, they said, hey, Jess, you guys and all the Catholics, you guys seem to be happy and have joy, you know, praying on your knees and praying out, you know, in the cement and just praying out there in public. He goes, for 3 hours nonstop, you guys have joy in your face. You guys seem to be happy and you guys have smiles. He goes, you know, we have to protect the Satanists as well. Make sure that there's no ruckus there. He says, the Satanists, as we look at them walking in and out of the hotel, they're arguing with each other. They're having heated debates with each other because even amongst Satanists, they have denominational lines. They don't agree with each other on different aspects. So they have satanic denominations, and they were like, all of them were there represented.
Wow.
The cops told me that you could visibly see that they were not happy. They were not smiling. They were frowning. They were visibly upset. They were distressed. And I could tell you with complete certainty why that was occurring, because our Catholic prayers, we were projecting them into the hotel, and our Catholic prayers, which were calling God's grace down upon them, and the grace of conversion and salvation, but also our prayers, they're Catholic prayers because they're based on the Word of God. They also disrupt, they also block, they also impede satanic curses and hexes and incantations. And so I have no doubt that their conference and their curses and hexes were undermined. It was impaired. It was basically, they were jammed by the power of Catholic prayer. And so I know that they felt the demonstration of the power of God, who loves them and sent his only son to die for them, because several of them came over to me and were asking me questions about the Catholic faith.
Wow, that's beautiful.
I think there's one psalm that sums up what we were doing out there. Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity.
That's right. That's right. And Jesse, it all goes back to that prompting of the Holy Spirit. And you said, yes, God is asking you to do something. And it all was dependent on you saying yes. I'm sure God was calling a lot of different people, but you really took that challenge and you stepped up to the plate and you kind of led the charge of all of this. And in our yes to what God is asking us to do that we know in our heart of hearts is huge. And you never know the ripple effect that that can have on souls. So it's so important to have that prayerful discernment to know what God is asking of us and to just go forth. And if he doesn't want it, he'll stop you. But to really just walk in faith, especially right now, because I think God's going to ask a lot of people to do a lot of things that may scare them or may be hard or difficult, but we've got to embrace it with trust and that faith in our heart, knowing he's going to take care of us no matter what's happening.
That's right. That's why St. Faustina, the constant prayer that I pray throughout the day, I just say it in my mind very quietly. I just say, Jesus, I trust in you. I say that I project that prayer constantly throughout the day in between my set time of prayer. You can do that in the shower. You can do that when you're jogging. You can do that when you're lifting weights. You can do that when you're washing dishes. You can do that when you're mowing the lawn. Jesus, I trust in you. That should be the buzzword and the watchword for all of us in the third millennium.
Absolutely. I agree. Wow. That's perfection. Jesus, I trust in you. When you're scared, when you're overwhelmed, when you have issues in your marriage or your family or your kids, you just keep saying, keep on, keep on. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesse, thank you so much for being here again at Women Made New. But I thought it was important that we follow up because there were a lot of questions that people asking and wondering what happened. And it's nice to see someone engaging in the battle and being able to come back and tell us about it and how things went and seeing fruit from it. So thank you for your testimony and being such a strong man of God and a protector, especially here in my hometown. So kudos to you and thank you very much. I know you will continuously be in my prayers.
Thank you, Kristalina, for what you do and your husband do. You guys have been leading the charge for many years on teaching young people the rules of engagement when it comes to the sacrament of marriage and when it comes to courting. So you and your husband have done a yeoman's job when it comes to helping out young people with sexual purity. God bless you for what you do. You're in my prayers also. I have a deep admiration for you and your husband, and I've had it for many, many years.
Where can they find people find you if they want to know more information about what you do, Jesse?
Yeah, they can. If you want to invite me to your parish, go to my website, jesseromero.com, jesseromero.com. If you want to hear me, I do 10 hours of podcasting a week. I speak a lot on spiritual warfare. You can go to my internet radio station that I started along with Terry Barber. It's called Virgin Most Powerful Radio, VMP, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. That's the radio network that we started. And you can catch me Monday through Friday.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Jesse, and God bless.
God bless you, Christina. Bye-bye.
I want to thank my guest again, Jesse Romero, for being here. What a blessing. You could all keep us in your prayers. And if you would like to be battle ready within your own homes, you can go to battlereadystrong.com. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend, and I look forward to joining you next week. God bless.